clarify. Are we back in open session? John?
Okay, just want to make sure. Leo, are you there?
Yes, I am. I happen to be on the Skylink train connection. It might be a little loud. I'm going to mute and listen, and when you need me to speak, I will.
Okay, no worries, no worries. No, I just wanted to, number one, to my colleagues, obviously looking at something like Hancock, that's a very specialized thing, right? And we all feel like farmers now. There aren't many diverse managers that do such a thing, right? And so I just wanted to comment on diversity, because if you look at core bonds and core stocks, there are plenty, a multitude of diverse firms. And rather than arm wrestle with Leo, although I'm happy to arm wrestle, I think what would be better is let's be data-driven. And so, Leo, it would be wonderful if we could get from Makita, just so the board can get educated on this a little bit, if you were to look at a statistical sample, meaning core bonds and core stocks, and a reasonable time frame like the last 5 years, how many searches did Makita have? And how many either African-American or Hispanic-American or women firms made and presented at the finals, and how many were hired? I just think it'd be interesting to see, and I'll be the first one to eat my hat if I'm wrong on the data.
For what discipline?
Excuse me?
For what discipline?
Well, core bonds and core stocks.
Oh, core bonds.
Okay,
okay.
In other words, there's a plethora of minority and women-owned firms in those areas. There aren't in some of these other specialized.
Okay,
and I think it'd be great to remove any searches so they don't skew the data that were required to be a minority search, like in the state of Illinois often does, and like some of the city of Philadelphia. I think that would educate the board a little bit about this dilemma, given that we talked a little bit about diversity today. Is that something we can do in the next 30 days?
Okay, I think I understood the request. Even though the sound quality is not great at my current location, what I will propose is I will draft a quick paragraph summarizing the understanding, and if it needs to be edited, let me know. But I'll summarize it as looking at essentially core bonds and core stock searches over, I think I heard, 5 years, and trying to figure out proportion or number of minority-owned managers.
I'll make it easy. I'll write something, I'll send it to you and to the board and to the staff, so you don't have to do any work. And that way there's nothing in writing. I'll send my request.
You can't send it to the board. It'll create a meeting.
Well, okay, I'll send it to staff and to you, Leo, of the request in writing, so you'll know.
Okay, that's fine.
Tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. I'll make sure to work on that, and I will report back, at the next time we come down, or sooner if possible.
Whether you're down or not, just give us the information.
Yes, I can also share that with the staff in between meetings or with the IAC, no problem.
Okay, I don't know what you just said.
But you'll handle it.
We'll get it, okay. The IAC won't be set until September, because I don't want to miss it. My time is limited.
I missed that. Can you repeat that, Gilbert?
I'm going to send it to you, or the request, what I'm looking for, and to the staff, because my time is limited, so I'm hoping we can get that by next meeting. I'm sure
yes,
the data...
Yes, we have it, I'm sure. We have it, or we can calculate... yes, exactly. You wouldn't be the only one or the first one asking for something like this.
Right. Thank you, Leo.
Thanks, Leo.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, team.
But in terms of what we go forward, do or don't do, do you have any suggestions for us?
Well, first, I'm willing to withhold more feeling. Let's see what the data shows. I think I know the data. I know the data, actually, but let's see the data. I think it would be great for the board to consider what we labeled at Metro, and, I was chairman at the time. They called it the Garcia Rule, because I was the chairman, where now whenever we do a search, you have to have one diverse firm, and we don't argue about the definition. It's just 51% Hispanic-owned, African-American-owned, veteran-owned, or woman, any combination thereof or total, in every final. Again, it doesn't take any work, really, because, everybody wins. The firm gets exposure, even if they don't get hired, so they can improve. We get exposure to a firm that maybe we would probably never get exposure to for the future, and maybe we discover the next big thing. It is a more work for the consultant than
to do.
So I hope that in the future we'll consider such a thing, which is it's not, you know, it doesn't mean you're putting your thumb on the scale at all. It just means you're trying to make sure no good firms fell through the cracks because of artificial barriers of entry. Like, for example, you have to have $10 billion in the product.
Yeah.
Well, by definition, then, you've eliminated virtually all these firms because most of them are in business decades, and they don't even achieve a critical mass of $4 or $5 billion.
Right.
So you, and they're a total firm. So you're just excluding them just randomly. Things like, and we don't have it, but I've seen it before, $50 million of E&O insurance. Well, that's very expensive. A lot of small firms don't do that. They can't afford it. And so the cost of getting that insurance is more than the revenue of the entire mandate. So there's all sorts of ways these barriers of entry have been put in place over time. And so what I'm just trying to do, Nick, is say, in the interest of the best performance, you know, as fiduciaries for our plan, we should make sure we're not inadvertently leaving people out. And there have been studies, and I'm happy to send the study of the Knight Foundation, which has been very well done, and that everybody knows probably knows the Knight Foundation. And at the end of the day, they did a big study on performance. And diverse firms perform just the same bell curve as non-diverse firms, but very importantly, if you look at the tail of outperformance, diverse firms are overrepresented and outperformance. And so it's a very interesting result. It's all data-driven, and I'll share it with everybody. And there are many other studies that agree with that assessment. So my view is I just want to make sure we don't leave out inadvertently good firms. So that's all I'm really trying to do.
Yeah.
All right. Private asset cash flow.
Okay.
And we're
open session. We've covered a lot of this already. I'll keep it very high level and answer any questions. Give a quarterly update on where we're at with private assets, what we project going forward, methodology. We have much more visibility control into real estate and natural resources, private equity on a lot of them. We didn't know money would come back Friday. Money came back Friday. So we're taking those and projecting those over like a two-year time period with equal distribution. So we ended the quarter with $532 million in private assets. We might have had about 20 in the last week or so. $1.2 billion in distribution since Q3 of 16, $244 million in capital calls, and market value is about flat. Looking at what happened in Q2, we had $1.3 million in capital calls, one on the CRA bridge loan that we're funding in the interim. BTG, the timber manager in South Africa and Brazil, because they required some capital infusion into that property. We've actually restructured the fees there completely, so we're not paying any cash fees.
What page are you on in the presentation?
155.
Right.
The bridge loan is for what? I mean, in terms of that funding. What is that funding?
Our side, the new GP's expenses, legal, their side of fees and legal.
Conway.
That's yes. Funding Conway.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we had a capital call on the Asian Infrastructure Investment Fund. As far as distributions go, we got about $15 million back in Q2, large distribution on AEW from the RCH portfolio. We got about $3.8 million back from the Maritime Investment Fund. We think that should be a pretty big driver of distributions into Q4 and into early next year. Smaller holdback distribution on the Huff Alternative Fund and a few small ones on Riverstone and TOF. So going forward, I expect it to be lumpier. We kind of see this spike in 2021, and then hopefully we'll have a spike up in Q3 here with a few more distributions coming out, in addition to the 20 we've already gotten. So go forward projections. For the rest of 2022, we are projecting about $124 million net of distributions coming in, which is $20 million a month. We've already got $20 million in July. So of that amount, 15% has already occurred. 35%, I'm very confident, will occur. It's coming from the stuff we know in process, and then About half of it is more planned, speculative, could occur, may get pushed, depends on what happens with the economy. But and I think there, we've gotten indications, like we talked about HUP, where stuff that's projected in 2023 could come back sooner. So I think we'll get close to that number, but it could be from not the investments that we're projecting to come from right now. So
that seems high, doesn't it? I mean,
like
$20 million a month for the next.
So that would be $60 million a quarter, and we've only gotten to that level, you know, two times in the last 12 quarters, it looks like. So it's a high level. A part of this is just the modeling where you have a lot of money left, and we're projecting it, most of it to come back by the end of the year. So at some point, HOF has got to sell, and maybe it happens after 2023, but a lot of the stuff that's driving this model is assuming sales occur, and, you know, at some point we're going to have a really lucky quarter. We could have $30 million, $30 million, $30 million, $110. But at some point, as long as HUB sells over the next 2 years, we're going to have spikes in there.
But you're saying half of it is either in, or you think you're
confident. If we get to Q4 and we don't have $60 million more, $40 million more, then, you know, that's falling short of what's already in process occurring.
It's the bottoms-up thing. It's event by event. There's no correlation between events.
Well, so what are you using it for? For redeployment plan? I mean, is that the forecast of what?
Yeah, I mean, it's partially redeployment, partially just giving us a good schedule to see what's left there, what's occurred, what do we expect to occur, you know. When do we think we're going to get to our long-term target allocation? When do we need to start looking at plans to reinvest in some of these private asset classes? And then part of it, a scorecard for us to say, you know, last year we projected $110 million. We'll do that annually at the end of the year to say we projected $110, we only got $85. Here's where we were off and why. So,
but, Michael, I think what we said, or the IAC would – weigh in on whether that would go into a long-term allocation or safety reserve. Right now, with the money in safety reserve being full, the idea is that would go into the allocation, but that would be revisited on a dynamic basis.
Yeah. And, I mean, if these projections...
My question was more of, does it make any sense to be aggressive in there, because what are you using it for? And if you said instead of 20, you expect it's going to be, you know, significantly less than $100 million. Or what, you know, what's the benefit, or what's the?
I think earlier on when we were much more higher allocated to private assets and getting the board to understand what's going on and what the plans were, there was more benefit. We continue to do it quarterly, and I think what happens too sometimes with these projections is we kind of re-underwrite all the projections at the beginning of the year. And then if we have two slow quarters like we did this year, we've moved a little bit of stuff. We don't want to keep just pushing stuff to the next year. So we had a slow first half of the year, so the model's projecting a ramp up for the next two quarters.
But I actually had this issue or question before, and I never knew how to really articulate it. Why such a aggressive modeling? Like, why not more conservative? These things seem lofty, and as to your point, they only occurred in two quarters in the last 12. So why wouldn't it be just adjusted for real life?
I mean, part of
it... I'm just saying.
I get your point. Part of it, we started doing this in 2018, and we had a five-year window, and we've gotten closer and closer, so that window's got shorter, so we're projecting a lot of stuff occurs over the next 2 years. If we look at the detailed schedule, staff is saying we think at the end of 2023, we're still going to have Hancock. We're still going to have a good chunk of AEW. We're still going to have Clarion. And that's it.
And so, we're doing this to make sure that when we were, that our assumed rate of return was reasonable.
Right.
You know, how quickly can we get out of these bad assets and get into better assets?
And the stuff in red here to that point is like the legacy assets, that's where we're assuming zero.
Hear me out, but like if you're doing a five-year experience, right, if you go backwards, those were the easiest, harder. So you still have these lofty allocations with the bottom of the barrel type of app. I'm not talking about the Hancocks of the world. I'm talking about, you know, we have private a private allocation, but some of it is good. Mm-hmm. And those that aren't, that we're trying to get distributions from, it's just going to be more difficult, and therefore they still have this very lofty projection of distribution.
And so we talked about last year, like last year we had a lot of distribution, a lot of stuff, COVID year got pushed.
AEW, yeah.
But like 85% of it came from AEW, so that was a lot easier to project. We're getting to more of the real estate's gone and more of what's left is private equity, and that's harder to project.
All right.
I think maybe the best use of this going forward is, you know, figuring out when to start reinvesting into private equity and real estate and how quickly to do that. Like we've talked internally, like we want to have some conversations with Makita and then the IAC later this year and into early next year. Like we have a 5% long-term allocation to these two asset classes. Here's what we're thinking of doing there. And we need to start having some discussions around that to be prepared to, you know, if something doesn't sell, we're just like, oh, we've got to reinvest here. We need to have a structured plan, pacing in place, understand, you know, how we want to step back into those two asset classes, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think the discussion on this towards the end of this year, do we add a couple of years and maybe be more realistic on when we're actually going to be completely out of this stuff? Any other feedback, input, questions on it?
A lot of progress over the...
That is true.
Lot of, yeah.
That is true. Yeah. What are we, 66% enough?
Yeah, we were two-thirds. Now we're 27%, but denominator effect, we're 32 now.
Okay.
We're getting free money back from private equity. We're getting zero, so even better.
Well, there's always been the easy way to do, which is write everything down to zero, but we decided to take the hard way, which is receive cash.
And try and find the value.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have there. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Kelly, Executive Director's Report.
Your newsletter's attached. We didn't have any open records since the last meeting. And as far as employee service awards, Brian can no longer say he's new because he's now been with DPFB 10 years. I heard you trying to do that one. Cynthia Reyes, who is the person who normally is on the phone when you call her at the front desk, she's been here 15 years. And Amy Cruz, who's one of our benefits counselors, also 15 years. So, appreciate all their work.
Yes.
I don't have anything else.
Okay. All right. We have a motion to adjourn the regular meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Now let's go to the supplemental meeting. We have the minutes from the supplemental meeting. Any questions about those? If not, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. And then can we have a motion referencing Jeff from a while ago on the valuation assumptions, the actuarial assumptions? Can we make a motion to approve those like we did with the regular meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. So we have a motion to adjourn the supplemental meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.